Today's scripture reading is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, and we read, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear for the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.' Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.' 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life
in his name. Greetings, beloved. I am the one Jesus loves. I'm just about finished writing my masterpiece. Just one more chapter and it'll be ready to send out. I have put my heart and my soul into this work. I have spent countless hours writing the stories about Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Son of God. But to be honest with you, the hardest thing about writing this story was not the stories I included. It was actually all of those things that I wasn't able to put into this work. Jesus did so many miraculous signs that if we were to write them all down, this world could not contain it. So I have carefully chosen the stories that I wanted in this eyewitness account for a very specific purpose. I have chosen these stories so that people might read them and they might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. My publisher tells me that it might be good for people to hear from the author. Maybe it'll help us sell a few more books. I don't care much about selling books. I have everything I need. But I do want to get this into the hands of as many people as possible. I love people, and I want them to know that they are loved by Jesus. I want them to believe in him. So I'm happy to do anything I can to help people understand this book. Today I would like to share with you a story that I've just finished writing, a story about how that one of the apostles came to believe in Jesus. I want you to know that it wasn't always easy for us to believe. That road was not perfectly straight. There was some struggle before we came to put our faith in him. And I hope that in hearing that story, it helps you as well. It's the story of believing Thomas, or as he was known for the first week after Jesus' resurrection, unbelieving Thomas. It started on that first Lord's Day, a Sunday, the first day of the week, when Jesus rose from the dead. That morning, he had appeared to Mary Magdalene. She had come to us and she had told us, "We have seen the Lord." For most of the disciples, They weren't sure what to believe. I had been there at the tomb. I had seen the clothes that were wrapped around him when he was buried, lying there without the body in them. That was enough for me to see those clothes to believe. But for the others, they weren't exactly sure. And after Mary left, we all went into an upper room. We locked the doors and we huddled together because we were afraid. We were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They had Jesus crucified. They threatened to do the same thing to his followers. Now that rumors were spreading around Jerusalem that Jesus had risen from the dead, they were especially anxious to stop anyone who knew who Jesus was. And so there we were in that room, fearing for our lives, when all of a sudden he appeared before us. It was Jesus himself. He didn't have a key, he didn't even need to open the door, he was just there, as if God himself were standing before us. I would be lying if I didn't tell you that we were more afraid to see Jesus in that moment than if a Roman soldier had burst through the door. Jesus, sensing our fear, reached out his hands and said to us, "Peace be with you." When Jesus reached out his hands, we could see the marks from the nails of his crucifixion. Jesus lifted up his cloak and he showed us his side. In that moment, we knew it was really him. The one who had been crucified was alive again. Laughter filled the room. We were full of joy as tears of joy began to stream down our faces. Suddenly, all of us were beginning to realize that Jesus wasn't just a good rabbi. He wasn't just a kind person. Jesus was God himself. The next thing that Jesus did was something only God could do. He took a deep breath, and as he breathed out, he said, "Peace be with you." And the Holy Spirit flooded the room and flooded our hearts. It felt like nothing we had ever felt before. Like we were born again. And then Jesus told us that we were going to go out and offer God's forgiveness. That anyone that we forgave would be forgiven. But if we withheld forgiveness from someone, it would be withheld. Jesus wasn't giving us authority to forgive sins. Only God can do that. But what Jesus was sending us out to do was to offer God's forgiveness, so that if we declared that someone was forgiven, we were simply acknowledging a decision that had already been made in heaven, that God himself had forgiven them. This was an exciting time. We couldn't wait to go out and tell the world. But first, there was someone that we had to tell. It was Thomas, one of the disciples. He wasn't with us in that room that evening. He had heard the report that Mary had seen Jesus, but he didn't know what to think. And he didn't want to be with us as we tried to figure it out. But after Jesus appeared to us in the room, we certainly thought that if all of us went to Thomas, and if all of us told him that we had seen Jesus, surely he would believe us. But we were wrong. When we found Thomas and we told him the story about Jesus appearing, Jesus showing his hands, Jesus sending us out to offer God's forgiveness to the world, he refused to believe it. "You guys are going to offer God's forgiveness to the world? We're the ones that need forgiveness," Thomas said. were the ones that deserted Jesus in his hour of need. We tried to explain to him that he had offered God's peace to us. He wasn't angry. He had forgiven us, but Thomas wouldn't hear it. All of his life, he had been taught that there is one God, and we are to have no other gods before him. And now to be told that this person who was our rabbi had been crucified and risen from the dead and was offering the forgiveness of sins to all, it was like saying that he was God. And Thomas wasn't ready to accept it. He said the only way that he would believe in Jesus was that if he actually saw the nail marks in his hands, if he was actually able to reach out his finger and feel them, he was actually able to take his hand and put it in Jesus' side. We left that conversation with Thomas discouraged that he refused to believe. Through that week, we continued to try to convince him that Jesus really had appeared to us. But Thomas kept insisting that he had to see for himself. And it was another Lord's Day. Once again, we were in the room. Once again, the doors were locked. And once again, Jesus suddenly appeared before us. We again were filled with fear, but Jesus reached out his hands. And again, he says, "Peace be with you." This time, he was looking directly at Thomas. And Thomas was looking directly at him. His eyes were huge. His mouth was open. And Jesus said, "Thomas, stop disbelieving and believe. Reach out your hand and touch the mark where the nail had been. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." Thomas didn't need to feel Jesus. Seeing was enough for him. Thomas fell down before the Lord, and he said, "My Lord and my God." Thomas got it. This is what I am talking about. Jesus Christ is not just a good teacher. He is not just an example for us to follow. He is God himself. With him in the beginning, the creator of all things, the Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified and now risen from the dead. We were filled with joy when we saw Thomas put his faith in the Lord. And Thomas was a different man from that point forward. He was telling everyone that he had seen Jesus, that he really was alive. It wasn't long after Pentecost, when the persecution came in Jerusalem and we were forced to scatter, that Thomas started making his way to the land of India. The last I heard, he had planted several churches there, and he had told those lovely people that Jesus Christ was Lord. Thomas didn't believe until he saw. But when he saw, he believed. I so wish that you could see Jesus the way that we did, that you could experience the things that we experienced. I wish you could have tasted the wine that he gave as a wedding gift in Cana. I wish you could have watched as he opened the eyes of the blind, as he made the lame walk, as he raised the dead. I wish you could have felt his hands as they washed the mud of Jerusalem off of our feet. I wish you could see the awful glory of him laying down his life for his followers on the cross. And I really wish that you could see the risen Christ, that you could reach out your hands and touch him, that you could hear his voice say, "Peace be with you." But you probably won't. Jesus has ascended to the Father, and now he's left us with his Holy Spirit. And even though you can't see Jesus, you can still believe. Because you have the eyewitness accounts of those who saw him. That's why I have written mine. That's why my friends Matthew, Mark, and Luke have written theirs. Because they want you to know the things that we saw. The things that were seen by many witnesses. So that you might know that these things are true. As God, as my witness, I swear to you that the things that I have written in this book are true. Because they are about the one who embodies truth. And it is my dearest hope, my beloved friends, that you would read my book and that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus himself gives a special blessing to people who can't see Jesus but do believe in him. He says, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed." I know that there are so many. In my years as a pastor, I have shared this story over and over, telling people about the things that I have seen. And I have watched as their hearts were filled with faith. They gave their lives to Jesus. It is my sincerest hope, beloved, that that becomes your story as well. Once I write my final chapter, I hope that this book gets sent out across the entire Roman Empire. People have asked me what I'm going to say about myself in this book. There was a time when I wanted to make a name for myself, where I sought my own glory. But when I saw Jesus there on the cross, when I remembered his teaching that glory isn't about lifting yourself up, but it's about laying your life down for your friends, I've realized that I only want people to know about Jesus. One thing that's important that you know about me is that I am the one that Jesus loves. I want you to know that Jesus loves you too. That you too are the one that Jesus loves. One thing I haven't decided yet is what I'm going to call my book. One idea I have is we have seen his glory. I mentioned that in the first chapter, and I think it has a nice ring to it. It's what I want you to understand about this book. I'm going to run it by my publisher and see what he thinks. Whatever it's called, I hope that you get the chance to read it. More importantly, I hope that you believe it. God bless you, my beloved friends.